What I thought I'd do for the sermonette time is to simply go and give an outline of the trip that we've recently had. So we can actually pass on some of the information and the basic schedule that we had in going down to Africa recently. Certainly, the trip has been a fairly exhausting one. I mean, I don't know about Judy, but I feel absolutely exhausted at the moment. I'm hoping we will get through everything all right. Anyway, it's interesting that here the weather is such that if anything, it's as warm as certain areas in Africa. When you've got air conditioning in some of the actual hotels where we're meeting, without air conditioning and with the weather the way it is, and also wearing a jacket, which we don't need to do down in Africa, it is depending a little bit warmer here as you get up to speak. But we did leave the UK around midnight on Wednesday, the August the 17th, and we actually arrived at Port Harcourt in Nigeria at about 6:30 that morning. So it was we were due to be met at Port Harcourt. We got through the customs okay, and there's nobody there, which is always kind of a sinking feeling in Nigeria. But in fact, what had happened is that there had been a certain amount of rain the day before, and therefore, rather than come down that preceding night and stay in the car overnight, they actually came that morning. So they're a little bit late, but it is a case that, you know, you get into that position and you think, now what do we do? Do we try and make it over to the journey, or do we actually get on a plane and go back, or do we go somewhere else? And it's a little bit disconcerting when you find yourself in that position. There's only once where I've really, really had myself in a position like that, and that was in Lagos one time when I was due to go to Ghana, and they sent the plane early, and I was actually left in Lagos without anybody, and so it was a case of trying to get back to the hotel on my own, which was quite an interesting experience. But on the Thursday, that was the day following, we were actually met Kingsley and Ezra Azubike, I think it's actually pronounced. They came round and drove us to Owerri, and the rest of the day basically was kept. That was the 6:30 the following day, which would be Thursday, and we went ahead and we caught up on sleep and organised the packing and organised everything for that particular trip down in Nigeria. On the Friday, we went over to the internet cafe to make sure that the service transmission was okay. The previous time we went over there, it took me a number of hours to actually get everything sorted out. To get the IP address, because the IP address and the way that this computer was set up. But at least I anticipated that this time, and therefore I realized what in fact the problems were going to be, so that proceeded fairly quickly, and we were able to do that on the Friday. We also therefore went and met the Oniatalums, who'd come in from Benin City later that afternoon, and we were able to spend some time with them. And if you remember, they had had such problems with having to move out of the place that they were in Benin, and had to move into a two-room flat or house or home or whatever with a family of seven, and that obviously is a great deal of difficulty for them. I'm pleased to report, I think I put in the update this today and this morning when I sent it out, that they have now got the opportunity to build. They had actually blocks and timber already, and they're able to actually get somebody in to build a place on the tribal land, which is their homeland, their home village, so that they should actually be around Owerri. So the entire church in Nigeria should actually be around Owerri, which is very, very good. So that they can in fact get together for holy days, because they were a family which were remote in Benin City, and I think it is certainly going to be better for the church when they do move back into the Owerri area. We also went to the Hotel Andre, where we met with the manageress again and discussed the room prices, and the room prices are basically the same as last year, so we were able to make arrangements there and to confirm the booking and to just be ready for the feast. So it was a day basically taken up doing those bits and pieces. The Sabbath we had a Bible study. It started around 10:15, and then we paused for some snacks and bits and pieces bought from the UK, and also soft drinks and that beers for other people that wanted them. And we then set off in relays across to the internet cafe around about 12:30, so we were able to get in there and actually organise the service. And if that was service was broadcast, I assume it came through okay, no problems to speak of. There was one thing in the sermon which I was talking about. If you turn over to Matthew 18 and just go into this just very, very briefly, because I put in my notes when giving that sermon, Matthew 18, and then by the side I put down Jack's story, and that was about the limit of my notes for that particular section. I knew that I needed to deal with the context of Matthew 18, which I did, but the Jack story, when I asked if anybody had heard the Jack story, everybody nodded their head, yes, they'd all heard it before several times, and you know, why therefore give it again? And I therefore carried on. But the reason for giving it, and one point that I didn't bring out, and I think it's an important point here in Matthew 18, and certainly all of you in Nigeria that are listening right now, be aware that when it says in verse 15, it says, "Moreover, if your brother shall trespass against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone." What I wanted to do was emphasize, and I didn't do this, was emphasize that if your brother shall trespass against you. In other words, so often people use this verse, and they will go ahead and they'll go off, and it will build something up in their mind. It will go be building up in their mind all the time until finally, just like the Jack story, you go and you hit somebody on the nose saying, you know, why don't you lend me the Jack? When, of course, he has absolutely no idea that you wanted the Jack in the first place. And it is a case that we've got to be very careful, if we ever use this, that we get our facts straight and we make sure that it's if he has actually trespassed against us. Be sure it's him or her. Be sure that it is actually something that has been done against you specifically, and it is absolutely vital that we get the facts. So I wanted to bring that out, and I put in my notes Jack's story, completely missed the point of why I put that in my notes, and merrily went on my merry way. But I thought I may as well bring that out now. On the Sunday, we all got together. Again, it was the entire church was able to get together on the Sunday within the hotel suite where we were. And we discussed the feast, we had job assignments made, there's used clothing distribution, any other questions regarding Bible study questions that were coming up, and there was a few. Also personal counselling was able to take place after that, and we were able to have some people back for a meal afterwards in the evening, so we were able to get together. Again, we can't do this during the feast, and therefore it's an opportunity for us to get together with the brethren. I would like to make sure that we do even more than that if possible. If you could be praying about the Iwonses, I think we've had a prayer request before about Mrs. Iwonsi, who has this dizziness. It's down to some kind of a bacterial infection and also malaria. But in addition, little David, the little boy, with great big eyes, but he has something wrong with his legs. Whether it's rickets or not, I'm not sure. But his legs are bowed. Now, there's something in the family that is also mentioned to me, that this had happened to another relative, and it corrected itself later on. But if you could please be remembering David, as well as his mother as well. He's only 2 years old, this little lad. He's just starting really to walk, and so on. On the Monday, we were back at the Feast Hotel. We paid the balance. We had basically just spent some time with the manageress at that time. We also were able to go around the campus, which where Kingsley Adebiki is currently studying agricultural engineering, and we're able to go around the campus and see that. I would have really liked to have gone and perhaps seen more of the actual brethren in their homes. I certainly plan next visit to do that more. We need to make sure that we get things organised more beforehand, so when we get down there, we hit the road running. I think that certain things can be tightened up this next time, as opposed to this one. That enable us to do it. And in addition, there are certain people that have asked us if we can go back to see their parents. The ones has mentioned that. And also, I'm hoping the Onyathlums should be there as well, and we should be able to go back to their home. On the Tuesday, we flew across to Port Harcourt down to Lagos, as we needed to fly from Lagos the following day. And again, it's a case of, do you fly that, you know, if you cut it too tight, then you get there as the plane is leaving, and you just cannot do that. I mean, you know, these plane flights are booked. As I said, I've had experience where some of them go early, and you've got to be there, you've got to be in time, you've got to go ahead and find out what time they're actually going, you've got to find out from the office, and it is a case of going down there the day before, and again, it may be may actually pay us next time to fly down to Nigeria and back to the UK, and fly down to Kenya and back to the UK, because the cost-wise is about the same. It's time-wise, obviously, it's not. But, you know, stay over in Lagos and so on, expense-wise, it might even work out cheaper. But on the Wednesday, we spent most of the morning talking with Kingsley in the airport, and then flew out actually around midday, and actually arrived in Nairobi in Kenya that same day, around about, late evening, we were able to get to a hotel in Nairobi, where, and again, it's 2 hours ahead of time, so we're flying east, we're going into the sun. And we were able to actually be met at the hotel at the airport by the hotel courier service, which was quite good. We met with a minister then on the Thursday around lunchtime in the hotel. We agreed to meet him there, and we went to a local cafe to talk. And he's with another organisation entirely. We've left it so that he listens. We're sending him tapes. We're sending him material regarding Mr. Armstrong, regarding the necessity to get back on track. And this material that Mr. Armstrong gave in the period from about 77 through to 85, 86, in order for him to then decide which way he's going to go, because it's a case that being with another organisation, he's got to look at some of this information himself. He's got to make certain decisions. But the reason for meeting him was that he had asked to attend on the Sabbath, and I wanted to see him first. And we had a discussion first, and I said, okay, fine, you can attend with us on the Sabbath. In fact, there was him and also three others from yet another organisation. Three ministers from another organisation were there with us on the Sabbath that particular day. They also are looking for a home in many ways, and there are about 200 people with them. So and the same thing applies. It's a case that they are going to have to sit down with the material Mr. Armstrong gave, not John Bowles, it's what Mr. Armstrong gave in that time, and decide for themselves whether they recognise the hand of God in that situation. So on the Friday, that's the day after, we caught the early plane from Nairobi, a domestic airport, to Kisumu. A place called Kisumu means lake town, and I think it's Swahili, I'm not quite sure about that, but it means lake town anyway. It's about an hour's flight, and it's right on the side of Lake Victoria. We were met at the airstrip by this minister, and also by the other people that we've been in contact with there. Lamek Otieno, and it's interesting, again, you can't say Mr. Otieno. I mean, there's quite a bit of confusion about that. Otieno apparently means you're born in the morning, that's all it means. Nighttime, sorry, okay, you're born at nighttime, and therefore you don't say Mr. Born at nighttime. You'd say, you know, it's a, you, therefore they, this is why they say Mr. John, because it's a title to the name that they understand, and it's only now I'm starting to get my head around the use of surname. There is no surname in the culture. The link between the fathers doesn't exist. You actually have this name that's given, and the fathers don't have the same name. So this Mr. Bowles is alien to them, and it's a culture difference, which again, exactly how you get over it, because I've been trying to address him as Mr. Otieno, and it just means Mr. Nighttime. It doesn't really come through. Over brunch over the hotel, at the hotel where we were staying, Lamek actually showed us about four or five articles that he'd already translated into Swahili. And these are articles of Mr. Armstrong that we sent from the UK. He had also, and this was already typed up, this was already available on a disc, so it could go straight up onto the website. We didn't have the opportunity to get the disc copied, unfortunately, so I'm hoping to be able to get that. And a handwritten, great dossier like this, where he translated the entire apostleship booklet. So that's all been translated into Swahili, it's all done. And he's holding two jobs down. He's also got a barber shop, and he's also got a chicken farm, small chicken farm. So he's busy. I mean, he's in his late 20s, so he's got more energy than we have. He's late 20s, 30. He's about 30. And he lives in Siaya with his wife. Siaya's north of Kisumu, which is where we actually met, where she had the service. And on the Sabbath, we had the service. Service starts around about 9 a.m. Most of the brethren had to be back in their villages, actually bus back to their villages that afternoon. There were 42 people present, including three gentlemen, as I said, which are pastors from this other church that came in. It was about 2.5 hour Bible study initially, and you think, well, that's an awful long Bible study. Well, it wasn't, because half of it is translation. It's a case you say something, and it was actually translated into Luo, and Luo is the local dialect. There's only one person that didn't understand Luo fluently. It wasn't his native language, and he was able to get by with the language. But Lamech translated into Luo rather than Swahili. There's no point really in posting that onto the website. I mean, I've got it there, whether or not I'll post it on, just so you can listen to it. But it was translation done, and it was quite an interesting experience. You know, you'd make a point and make your gestures, and he would make his point and make the same gestures, and it was quite an interesting experience for me as well. Afterwards, we had a question and answer session. That was after lunch. This also was translated. Be remembering Lamech as well, because he has a cataract. Even though age 30, he has a cataract, which gives him difficulty if the sun is at a certain angle. He had somebody else do some translation then. And then we fellowshipped a little while, and they then left for their villages again. We had a feast meeting in the hotel on the Sunday, and we were able to decide how it would be best to help. And in addition to that, it was a case of where was the feast to be held. We've decided to hold the feast down at Migori. And Migori is down in the southern part of Kenya. It's close again to Lake Victoria. In the afternoon, we were able to actually get out and see some bits and pieces. We went and saw a local museum, or it was more a... It was a museum there as well, but it also had live animals with it, crocodiles and this kind of thing. It was just like a little mini zoo in some ways. And we actually went to the shores of Lake Victoria to have a look at Lake Victoria. And it's interesting, on the shores, you're looking out. If you can imagine Loch Lomond, about the size of Loch Lomond, and then multiply it by about three. So you're now looking at the little promontory that comes in to Kisumu, which is Lake Town. So Loch Lomond times three is about that little bit, and that is 2% of the lake. The lake is vast. It's the second largest freshwater body of water in the world. The largest is Lake Superior in America, and this is number two. It's over three times the size of Wales, just that one lake. It's... about 27,000 square miles altogether. It was actually discovered it's the source of the Nile, the source of the White Nile, and it's joined by the Blue Nile that comes in from Ethiopia. And it was discovered apparently by John Speke, I think his name is, back in about 1860. And Livingstone was a bit further. It's nothing to do with the Victoria Falls. Victoria Falls are on the Zambezi, which is further south. Then on the Monday, we were taken to the airport by Lamech, Zablon Anyumba, who was looking after the Migori people, and Kenneth, who is also from Siaya. And we caught the 9:50 a.m. plane back to Nairobi. And again, it was a case of you've got to leave enough time. If we tried to get the evening flight, if something had gone wrong, we couldn't get the flight out, we'd have been stuck in Kenya now, or we could have been. And we say that with definitive words, because there were some people actually in the airport when we finally got there that had been there for 3 days. There'd been a problem with the actual flights going back with British Airways, and they would get there in the evening, and then they would stay on the plane until about 5 a.m. or in the airport, finally get on the plane, or sometimes they did and sometimes they didn't, and they decide, no, we can't, there's certain problems with the plane, mechanical problems, and get them off, put them in a hotel, and the next night would be the same thing, and the next night would be the same thing, and they'd be doing that for 3 days. But before we did, one thing we had a taxi driver called Onesimus, and we actually hired him for the day. It wasn't that expensive. We hired him to actually take us around Nairobi, drop us off to get a bite to eat, drop us off at the airport, hotel to check the emails and so on. And he also took us to an animal sanctuary, it's an animal orphanage connected to a wildlife, what do you call these? It's a game reserve near Nairobi. And I think the highlight of the whole thing, of that particular day, was to actually go in with the cheetahs that were there and actually pet the cheetahs. And we got pictures of Judy and myself actually stroking cheetahs, or a cheetah. But it was, I mean, their fur is like a bristlebrush. It's like rubbing a toothbrush on their head. It's about that, about like that. But we were able to do that, and that's about the limit of the sightseeing as such. And then that evening, it should have flown out, should have got out there just 10:45. It finally got away at 3:15 in the morning. And so we left there, and we managed to get back to the UK and rest up in a... we had an airport, and it was a car park and also a hotel deal, so we could leave the car in the car park and also have a hotel room if necessary, and we were able to have that and actually freshen up and just actually sleep for a little bit when we actually arrived. So on the front, please be remembering the Wunsie family. Mrs. Wunsie can't work because of this dizziness, because of this problem, so please be remembering them. Remember their son David, who's 2 years old, because it's either rickets or joint problems or nutritional needs, whatever it may be. We try and help where we can. Mbakwe family also, the inflation on foodstuffs is between 20% and 50% down there. It's and yet the inflation on wages is not, and it is very difficult. It's very, very hard. As a Biki family, the same thing is hurting the Mrs. Azambiki's fish business. Mr. Azambiki can't work because of the eyesight problem. And it just generally, they are trying to make ends meet is a major difficulty. And the Onyathlum family, be remembering, particularly Mrs. Onyathlum, it has visibly had an effect on her, on I hesitate to say aging, but I mean just she doesn't look the same lady that she was when we saw her a year ago. And I'm hoping in a year's time, when she's moved, that this will have this been rectified. But please be remembering that family, and also some of the Kenyan brethren as well. They are subsistence farmers, and there is a drought in the area. They need our prayers. They need rain in their areas, and it is it's one thing in the West, where we have a certain amount of help, but in these areas that isn't the case. So be remembering your brethren down there by all means.